It's time for this week's More to the Story on WNCW. I'm your host, Paul Foster. I'm joined today by the host of the South Carolina political podcast called Frogmore Stew. We're going to talk about politics in South Carolina with Grace Cowan. Welcome back.
Hi, Paul. Nice to see you. Thanks for having me back.
Grace, let me start with your recent podcast where you hit on when South Carolina's educational system meets federal politics, things get complicated. Share details from your recent conversation that happened to include former state representative of South Carolina, Rita Allison.
Rita is a wealth of information on education, particularly in the state. And I encourage you, at the risk of doing some self-promotion, but to listen to the interview with her if you have any interest whatsoever in the education system of South Carolina. One of the things, and I think this applies to every state, honestly, is there's so many different streams of funding when it comes to education. There's local, there's county, there's state, there's federal, and how that funding is used is dependent on the state that it's in. And so the local and county and state funding go to things like buildings and what's called a PPE, a per pupil expenditure, and that's dependent on how old the kid is, how many teachers are needed in the classroom, you know, a whole variety of things. And so each child actually has a different per pupil expenditure. That money comes primarily from the state, although there is some money that comes federally based on some Title I issues, poverty, equity. And then that federal money also goes to things like Pell Grants, Title I, which is special needs and poverty. It's really like a complicated mixture of funding. And she talked a lot about that. And I think that that to me is something that shouldn't be political. When you listen to her talk, you have no idea if she's a Republican or a Democrat. You just start to get into the nuance of why it's important to have smart people deciding those factors.
That's actually very refreshing to hear that about Allison, not knowing where she stands politically. Grace, where do students stand in South Carolina when it comes to the curriculum, especially subjects like science and math?
We have what's called SC Ready, which is a standardized test that is administered every year at the end of the school year. And it's basically a check on math, reading skills, and all of the public school students take this test. And I think it's third through eighth grade. There's a pivot point of third grade where you go from learning to read to reading to learn. And so that's a critical juncture in a student's life. So if you in third grade aren't meeting, you know, these competency levels, you're going to have a much more difficult time as a student moving forward. In our annual test, it showed a roughly 6-point gain in proficiency in reading, with nearly 60% of students meeting or exceeding grade level expectations. And math also went up by over 0.5 point. The state has set a goal, which is called Moonshot. And that is that 75% of students reach grade level expectations by 2030. That's a pretty lofty goal. What we've done as a state is more teacher training. We went back to a phonics-based reading program. So I think COVID really taught us a lot about what can happen and then also gave us some opportunity to add in some changes.
Did Rita Allison feel that parents in South Carolina deserve choices to where their child goes to school for education, not just the public school system, but talking about charter schools, private schools, so on?
She is all about school choice. She is about parents' rights. Her thing really on parents' rights is that school shouldn't be the place to teach everything. And a lot of times teachers, you don't know who's coming into your classroom and you don't know what pre-education they've had. You don't know how many books have been read to them. You don't know whether they know their colors. And so she's really big on early education. She also mentioned in that interview that politics has come into the classroom so much and it's forced teachers, one, to be everything, but at the same time, be somewhat restrictive about what they can do. I think that she has a very pragmatic view on what parents' responsibilities are, what teachers' responsibilities are, and what schools should be.
From Grassroots Radio WNCW, it's More to the Story. Our guest today is the host of the political podcast, News from South Carolina and More. It's called Frogmore Stew, Grace Cowan. Grace, let's jump on to another topic for the rest of the program. Governor Henry McMaster has been around for some time now, it seems. However, he will be replaced. There will be a new governor in South Carolina in November of 2026. And there's a lot of candidates and things are happening.
He also feels like this race started 100 years ago. We have been talking about this governor's race, which won't even happen until next year, for many years. We have a lot of candidates. We have a new one that just announced this past week, Jermaine Johnson, who is currently in our state legislature. He's a Democrat. He is a very moderate Democrat, I would say. And he's sort of a refreshing voice in the state. He's just an interesting guy with a deep well of knowledge of how politics works in the state. There was recently a poll that came out from Winthrop that shows Nancy Mace and Pamela Yvette, who is our lieutenant governor, and Nancy Mace is our U.S. representative in District 1, in a statistical tie. However, it also showed that nearly 47% of GOP voters said that they are undecided. The thing that's fascinating about the state of, South Carolina is that in a statewide race, typically, the difference between Republican voters and Democrat voters is about 250,000 people. So it's anywhere between an 8 or 9 point difference. Going into this race, whoever comes out on the Republican side, and then Jermaine Johnson will probably be the Democrat running in the general, the Democrat is going into it with a very steep hill to climb of getting either more voters into the voting pool or flipping voters. And we know in politics that it is much harder to get a voter to flip, because that independent group isn't very big, particularly in the state, than it is to get new voters to vote. We do have a lot of new people here in the state, so that maybe don't have a voting history in the state, so we're not sure where that will land. We have open primaries, so Democrats and Republicans can vote either way in either primary. Who knows what will happen? Trump, who knows if he'll endorse anyone? That would probably make a big difference on the Republican side pre-primary.
If I'm not mistaken, so far in this race, when it comes to candidates, is it there like 5 Republicans and now with the newcomer, 2 Democrats?
That's right. So Pamela Yvette, our lieutenant governor, Josh Kimbrell, who is also, I believe he's in our state legislature, Nancy Mace, U.S. House District 1, Alan Wilson, our current attorney general, Ralph Norman, who is also a U.S. representative, has been in that seat. He's up in the Rock Hill area for several years.
For any of our listeners, and especially those in upstate South Carolina that would like to listen to the podcast Frogmore Stew on a regular basis, Grace, where can they find it?
Sure. You can find us anywhere you get your podcasts. And believe me, in the state of South Carolina right now, there is no lack of material. We try to get every voice out there.
Grace Cowan, keep up the good work, and thank you for joining us today on More to the Story.
Thank you.
You can find other episodes of More to the Story at WNCW.org. I'm Paul Foster.